Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
This month, college students will make their parents proud at graduations across New England. But what happens next? Will this year's graduating class move seamlessly from universities to the working world?
But first, there's a pause today in the corruption trial of former State House Speaker Sal DeMasi. Some explosive testimony from the prosecution is expected later this week. Government prosecutors are still laying out their case that DeMasi pocketed kickbacks to steer lucrative state contracts to a Burlington software company.
If you've been trying to follow the trial but are confused, it's understandable. It took the courtroom clerk 45 minutes to read the government's indictment into the record. So we thought today would be a good day for WBUR's David Boeri to bring us all up to speed. Hi there, David.
Hi, Meghna.
So you've been in court quite a bit watching the case against Sal DeMasi unfold, but remind us first of the scheme that the former House Speaker allegedly took part in.
The government's alleging that then-House Speaker Sal DeMasi and a couple of close associates, friends, and a hard-charging salesman from Cognos, Joe Lally, conspired to steer two state contracts worth about $20 million to the software company Cognos. The key to pulling it off, according to the government, was enlisting and exploiting the political muscle of Sal DeMasi. DeMasi's two associates got about $1 million, the government alleges, in kickbacks. The Cognos salesman made close to $4 million. DeMasi made $65,000, according to the government, but they also point out that $500,000 that went to his personal accountant was going to go into a secret company with his accountant and DeMasi, where they were going to lobby once he left the speakership. They put in Sal's mouth the words, "I'm not going to be here much longer. Let's make hay."
Can you introduce us to the first big two witnesses that the prosecution called in this like very large cast of characters?
Sure. So the first is a former employee at Cognos. He's hired by the alleged conspirator and the soon-to-be notorious Joseph Lally. Lally's this hard-charging salesman who supposedly is part of the scheme. Well, the former employee is named Christopher Quinter. He testified to a treasure chest of emails from Lally to him, and they put DeMasi at the center of the plot, says the government. According to that witness, Christopher Quinter, Lally just fabricated this outrageous figure of $15 million to charge the state for that contract, and he was confident they were going to get it. Why? Quote, he said Speaker DeMasi would provide the funding of it. And Lally, according to the witness, was always talking about my pal Sal, Speaker DeMasi, one of my best friends. According to the witness, Lally said, we're going to work with Sal to get the funding lined up.
For this Cognos contract.
For this Cognos contract.
Okay, so that's some potentially damaging testimony from Christopher Quinter. Who's the next witness that was quite significant here?
Next up was the most damaging witness so far, and that's DeMasi's former law associate, Stephen Topazio. Imagine a guy knows nothing about software, hasn't done contract law. He's a personal injuries lawyer working, doing small-time criminal defense work, and suddenly he gets a phone call. Client wants him to represent a company that's seeking millions of dollars in contracts. It has a whole bank of its own specialized attorneys in-house, and they want to hire him to be a consultant, and they're going to pay him $5,000 a month. And in fact, they never ask him to do any work.
So why was he ever on the payroll then?
Why indeed? The government's first witness said he asked Joe Lally that very question, and he was told, whatever you do, never cancel a contract for a lawyer named Stephen Topazio. Why? Because he was a friend of Sal, quote unquote.
So essentially, what's alleged to have happened here is that Sal DeMasi gets his law partner, Stephen Topazio, this no-work job so that every month $5,000 goes to Stephen DiPazio, but $4,000 of that effectively goes to Sal DeMacy, which his defense attorneys are calling a referral fee, but the government is calling a kickback.
That's right.
So that was some of the key testimony to come out of the case last week. The government is still making its case this week. There's some pretty important names on the witness list. So what do you expect to see?
Next part of the government strategy is to bring in people from Beacon Hill, aides, reps, state officials, all to testify that Sal DeMacy, as speaker, wanted these two contracts.
State officials including Governor Deval Patrick and current House Speaker Robert DeLeo.
They will be here at some point, not necessarily this week, but they're going to be here at some point. The testimony is meant to establish the fact that DeMacy was in favor of these two contracts and did everything he could to get them passed. In the middle of this comes the most notorious an unlikely character of all, and this is Joe Lally. Joe Lally made something like $4 million as this hard-charging salesman selling Cognos software. He was one of the four charged. He's absolutely up to his neck in it. He pled guilty, and he agreed to become a government witness. Very convenient for him because Joe Lally, as it turns out, probably fits the description quite accurately by one defense attorney that he's a degenerate gambler. He has a $75,000 debt to one casino. He was said to have placed $10,000 on one roll of the roulette wheel at Foxwoods. High, high roller, and in massive debt to the IRS. And by pleading guilty, suddenly he gets to keep his house from forfeiture. It's worth about $900,000. We'll help him pay some of his debts. He's looking at 2 to 3 years in prison now rather than something like 20, or if you add it all up, 165, where they bring your corpse back and make it serve another sentence. He gets 2 to 3 years, gets to keep the house, and maybe gets some help pulling himself out of debt. Now, defense attorneys call this agreement testifying because, in fact, his testimony, they say, is being bought by the government.
Well, what is the government hoping to extract from him then when they put him on the stand?
He says, yeah, I gave this guy such and such money. I talked to this guy. I talked to that guy. Sal, oh, yeah, we cut the whole deal together. He was going to get this much money. Lally is testifying for the government. And now you are going to see a heavyweight celebrity death match, I guess, when you're about to see when Lally takes the stand. The defense, they are going to go after him with everything. They're going to talk about lies, the fact that in Cognos he was known as a liar, a cheat. They're going to do everything they can to cut his knees out from underneath him when he takes the stand. It's probably going to be this week. It'll probably be the most dramatic part of his trial. And on Joseph Lally, the government's case may well rise or fall.
WBUR's David Boeri, our man in federal court, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Megan.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.